Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome back to the Wolverine.com podcast, the video version. This is John Borton with you today. And, of course, our great Tuesday guest, resident of East Lansing, Michigan, but all Michigan all the time, Tom Crawford. Tom, welcome back to the podcast.
Well, I don't think I've ever looked forward to a podcast on the Wolverine.com with John Borton ever in my life, as long as we've been doing this, as I am right now. This is a sweet redemption for the Michigan football program. What a glorious day that was at the corner of the stadium in Maine. I know you were, as you were keyboarding away, that you couldn't get that smile off your face. I saw it there, JB. I saw it.
That was just a look of focus, but I was gonna ask you what's new, but the answer is obviously a win, a dominant, physical, decisive win over Ohio State, a berth in the Big Ten championship game, possible playoffs. Kind of what a week for Michigan followers. It's like they're just reveling in this and almost not able to grasp that what happened.
You know, I think the biggest testimony, I've had a lot of outreach from Michigan State people, a few coaches, friends of mine in the athletic department, diehard fans of Sparty, donors. They reach out to me. You know, Tom, you've put up with a lot of you people in your Michigan have put up a lot of crap. You deserve this day. It was a redemption thing, and the 8-year misery with Ohio State, having your program mocked by the Paul Feinbaums of the world, week in, week out. We've been frustrated ourselves with the status of the program last year, and it's just it all came to an end. I mean, and it was the way they did it, John. Just that, and I go back to the 60s and obviously into the 70s when it was. Physicality determined the outcome. The offensive line determined the outcome. The enthusiasm of the crowd against Ohio State determined the outcome. And not being bullied and actually being the bully for Michigan was the bully in the bull ring, including the tunnel, as we saw. That was just the antithesis of what we've been seeing the last 8 years and plus. 15 out of 16, quite frankly. And so all that added together made it maybe my finest moment at Michigan Stadium that I've ever witnessed. I've had a lot of great moments down there as a fan and even, in the media thing I've been doing the last 20 years. This one's at the top of the heap. There's no question in my mind.
It's pretty amazing. Let me throw something at you and have you respond to it, because in my mind, this game was the culmination of a lot of things that we talked about that had to be for Michigan to win this game. And beyond that, some of the fulfillment of what was hoped and projected and postulated even before the season started. Start with the game. You've got a Michigan team that shortened that game in many ways, made Ohio State go the long way, took time off the clock because it had an effective rushing game, short passing game, those sorts of things, and really limited Ohio State's opportunities on offense, so they weren't going to get to 50, 60 points. There was just no chance because of that defense. You had an offensive line play its best game of the year, and not just in opening those holes, but in I tell you what, guys like Doug Skeen and John Jansen as well as I do, and they have not always been happy that Michigan offensive linemen of late haven't asserted themselves when liberties are taken. You get Cam Brown ripping the helmet off, and all of a sudden, here comes Vastardis, here comes Keegan, here comes Stuber, and they're backing him down like a herd of elephants. And all of those things. And the other thing, before the season started, what did we say? Mike McDonald needs to have a better plan against Ohio State defensively than we have seen lately. And all of that played out.
Well, and it's that commitment to Ohio State. We heard it at Big Ten Media Days. They were committed early on. What are we doing today to beat Ohio State? But as I was complaining about last year and the years prior, the running game, lack of running game against good defenses. And I think I exemplified countless times the 2019 game when Ohio State needed 4 yards and J.K. Dobbins up the middle and they got 4 yards and they got 6 yards. And this is what I fantasized about Michigan having when you needed to run the football. They know you're going to run the football. You run the football and you get a first down. That's what's been missing from the program. And Mike Hart's impact has got to be part of it. And obviously Sherrone Moore in that offensive line. Good Lord, they were good. They were good. Even non-technical football people could watch what was happening on that line and know. And they just knew. You could tell execution was being executed by the executioners, as Bob Ufert would say. I mean, they just got it done. We could go on and on and on about all the check marks that were checked off, culminated with finally on that field. This goes back to 1977 when I was in school. I don't even remember since that time. There's probably been some times that maybe went in 1997. I guess they did, but very few times since 77. I was a student. Everyone on the field, and that was when it was a lower field, and it was just that's what you did after beating Ohio State. And to see that where we were up in that vantage point where you and I were taking video and pictures pour onto the field. And as Jim Harbaugh said, the field was filled, but the stands were still filled. That was an incredible, incredible sight. That's a picture that's got to be down here in my man cave. That was an amazing visual for all of us.
That's an amazing visual for not only Michigan fans that participated in it, those that watched on television, every single recruit that comes down the pike and sees that and thinks, I wouldn't mind being a part of that. How about a little tip of the cap to Cade McNamara and maybe a bit of a mea culpa from some, because all year long, or at least the first half of the year, he heard about, it's got to be JJ. It's going to be JJ, but by the time Ohio State rolls around. And yes, Cade made the big mistake early, throwing into coverage over the middle, and it was that uh-oh moment for everybody. And instead of Michigan being up 14-0, Michigan actually got behind. But as observations were made on McNamara, he walks off the field just like he did when he took the big hit at Penn State and fumbled. No fault of his own, really, because it was a total blindside hit job on that one. But, you know, the kid never changed his expression. He never changed his focus. He never got discouraged or frustrated or anything like that. He just stayed with it and played a heck of a game. And they continued to mix in J.J. McCarthy. He drops a really nice sideline pass when he's coming in. They expect him to run. I think that these coaches have done a nice job of balancing that and getting the true freshman a good taste of action, and yet going with the guy that has got you on the verge of a Big Ten championship.
Yeah, all incredible points, John. You know, and I agree with you. I mean, everybody's head dropped when Cade threw that interception, because it was really a bad throw, a bad read. But he bounced back. You know, he reminds me mentally resilient-wise of another Michigan quarterback named John Navarre, who would have those kind of moments, especially early on, and would bounce back from them. That takes an incredible gene in your brain that you can forget those negative things out of your mind and move forward. But he was brilliant. You know, I said last week in the podcast, I said, you know, Michigan beats Ohio State without chunk plays because you don't want to have explosive. You know, not when I say not chunk play, I mean not big explosive plays. You want to be a little methodical going down the field. And Cade McNamara is a perfect methodical quarterback navigating his team down the field, making those third down conversions. He was brilliant. I will say that. He was brilliant. I think JJ is an a very vital blend in that two quarterback system, if you will. Obviously, one more prominent than the other in terms of a number of snaps. But I think this is going to work. I don't know how it's going to work next year, but I don't care because I just care about this year. But I like the situation at quarterback. That's the least of Michigan's worries right now, is the situation at quarterback. Louis Jewelers,
celebrate the moment. Hi, this is Jonathan from Louis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Louis Jewelers.
You mentioned John Navarre. I'm seeing a little bit of 97 Brian Griese.
Yeah, in, that too.
In McNamara. And, you know, you're talking the game manager thing, and but can unload a really nice ball downfield. On occasion, he certainly did that with Cornelius Johnson on that one throw. And
beautiful pass.
Just exemplary. And so now, obviously, the celebration's over. It's time for Iowa. And I like the matchup. I have great respect for Kurt Ferentz. I think he's puts together very fundamentally sound teams. This team plays defense. But it is offensively challenged and probably not going to be too mobile at quarterback. We're hearing, you know, they're waffling between quarterbacks. But I would think that guys like Aiden Hutchinson are just kind of licking their chops at this opportunity.
Yeah, Alex Padilla doesn't exactly make everybody shake in their boots, but you're right about Kirk Ferentz, and I have an incredible amount of respect for him. He's the dean of all of college football coaching, and he's as old as I am, if not old, maybe a year older. I mean, he's an amazing coach. He gets so much out of his team. You know, they had, you know, when you watch them offensively, though, it's like, wow, you kind of lick your chops for this Michigan defense. I will say that, and I'm not getting overly confident about this game, and I'm sure the Michigan football program is not, and they've put this Ohio State win, as emotional as it was, you got to let that get behind you. But, you know, Tyler Goodson at running back, I mean, they just don't have those scary, quote-unquote, skilled players that Ohio State has that, you know, that you worry about big plays happening. Yet, great on special teams, a juggernaut defense. Michigan's rushing game will be tested. That offensive line has to duplicate what they did against Ohio State, maybe even more. Because this Iowa defense is better than the Ohio State defense, which was, I don't know, ranked 30th or 40th. I mean, not that highly ranked. Am I concerned about Saturday? Hell yeah. Why? Because so much is at stake, John. The Big Ten Championship is there to grab. It's so close. That's what you want, the CFP. And so a lot of pressure on Michigan, and they got to get this Ohio State win behind them and totally forget about it.
No question. Just a couple of quick things on what you think are the key elements that Michigan needs to do well. We talked all about it with Ohio State. Talk about it with Iowa, and it might be some of the same things, but what does Michigan need to do really well in what areas to make sure that this one is the possible two-score or more win that some people are talking about?
Yeah, we want a nice comfy win so we don't go through any anxiety. I would say, taking care of the football. Don't turn the football over. I mean, once again, Iowa is opportunistic. Their DBs create, they hit hard, their corners. And so Michigan's receivers have got to, you know, secure the ball after a catch. They can't turn the ball. If Michigan does not turn the ball over in this game, which I know that's a lot to ask. The percentage chances of winning this game go shoot right up. The other thing is special teams. Iowa blocks punts. They do a lot of stuff that other teams don't. They're very non-conventional in that. They're compensating somewhat for their you know offense that literally can't move across the street sometimes. Ball preservation, security, whatever you want to call it. That's number one, and continue to run the football and have that balance. You know, everybody, you know, a lot of the experts have talked about Michigan, John, as the most complete team in college football, even more so than Georgia. And even though Georgia's got 11 five-stars on defense, they are not as complete in terms of offense, defense as Michigan is. So they just got to do it all. Offense, defense, special teams, and hopefully a great crowd support. I know they will. We'll bring their fans. It's going to be a great environment. And FYI, John, I'm going fan this game. I'm going fan. I've got to be in the stands. I've got to be down there. And I got a friend of my fraternity brother of mine who's a big-time donor. He's got great seats down there right in the middle of the section down low. I'm going fan, and I cannot wait.
Well, you're wholly invested. I like that. It's good that you've got connections and are going to have a bird's eye view of things. You know, you mentioned a lot of things about offense, and in this game, my thing is, you looked at what Michigan did defensively against Ohio State. Ohio State didn't turn the ball over and still only scored 27 points. I say only 27 because they're averaging 47 a game. That's a defensive effort. I think it's huge that the defense really dominates an offense that's nowhere near as explosive as what Ohio State was able to throw at them and creates a turnover or two along the way. Maybe early on in this game.
No, I agree. And that's a field position. I mean, Iowa, when they score when they have the short field, you know, when their opportunistic team does serve something up, they've scored. Yeah, they're a good team. I mean, they were, as Harbaugh was talking about yesterday, they were number two in the nation at one time. And they beat Nebraska like all the teams in the Big Ten have beaten Nebraska. They just find a way to get by Nebraska because Nebraska ultimately makes a mistake to screw it up. Even though they outplay a team and then they lose the game. I watched the replay of that. And, yeah, it's field position. If Michigan can get some three and outs early on and really, really take the life out of that offense. And then if Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo can do what they did, especially Aiden, that guy was amazing. I mean, I don't remember – a defensive performance like that at Michigan Stadium ever that was more glaring than what Aiden Hutchinson did. Have you, in all the years you covered Michigan, one to stand out like that? There was to everybody?
I would say there's you got to throw a little Charles Woodson in there a couple of times.
I get that. I understand that. And he was like good. He was glaringly good every game. But I mean, that really. I mean, I don't know. It was just the way he played a full game.
No doubt. He was a man for the moment and delivered in a way that I guarantee you had dad and mom smiling the whole Hutchison clan. It was it was amazing. Before I let you go, we need to talk about this, all these coaching craziness that's out there right now. I'm hearing Mr. Tomato Head from Notre Dame maybe wearing his LSU stripes before long. And what's going on here?
Well, Notre Dame, here's a problem with Notre. It's not a problem with Notre Dame. It's just a philosophy about Notre Dame. Notre Dame doesn't want to pay because of their, you know, their value system at Notre Dame. They don't want to pay a coach a ton of money. You know, they'd just soon pay somebody $4,000 or $5,000. That's why they might just just promote Marcus Freeman, their DC. Brian Kelly, I'm hearing some rumblings of some double-digit million per year stuff. We're pretty good sources. Highest paid coach by a few over Nick Saban. And then some. I mean, I'm hearing that. This is crazy. What's happening in college football is nuts. I mean, this stuff that Brian Kelly might ink might be at Belichick level. I mean, so and Urban Meyer will become sprinting back to college football after this. I kid you not. I don't. It's this donor-driven thing that we saw at Michigan State. I mean, Michigan State, you know, with Mel Tucker, up until yesterday, the second highest paid coach in college football with such a, you know, a dinky sample size, four wins over winning teams. I don't get it. I don't know if it's good, but it's the way it's going to be. And this thing, Lincoln Riley going to USC, you know, and who knows, you know, what's going to happen with the Notre Dame job and where Luke Fickell might end up going. Is he going to go to OU? Musical chairs. I think we're going to see more demonstrative changes in college football, John, this year than we have in a long, long time in terms of head coaching positions.
Yeah. Well, I think Mel Tucker's contract was all about not four wins over winning teams, but two wins over Michigan in 2 years.
No,
but,
there you go. You know, you nailed it.
That means a lot. And meanwhile, Michigan's coach is giving his bonus money back to the athletic department for people that just ordinary folks in the AD that
was terrific.
Cut back on their pay. Yeah, that was an extremely strong gesture on the part of Jim Harbaugh and Sarah, his wife. But we're looking forward to Saturday night. Obviously, we'll have Tom Crawford in among the folks, and so looking forward to seeing that. Maybe Crawford will leap the rail and storm the field when it's all over with.
I'll give you that fan perspective, John. That I gotta admit to you, even though we were nice and cozy up there in the box, a part of me was like frustrated I wasn't out there freezing my butt off just enjoying that ambiance, because even through the glass, hearing through the glass, you could tell it was at another level at the corner of Stadium in Maine. And I'm just so glad all those people enjoyed it. It looked like a wonderful time down there.
Well, there you go. You'll enjoy it in Indianapolis, but you're going to have to bring your own snow. So
yeah.
Tom Crawford, again, thanks for being with us. We'll talk again next week.
Always a pleasure, John. Appreciate it having me on.